Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. My name is Pastor Lindsay Hall, and I'm one of the clergy that serves at the congregation here at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Thank you for joining with us in worship today, especially if you are new to our congregation and you are just signing in for the first time to learn more about us. We would love to help you get better connected if you're new or if you're just a visitor. We would love to help you get better connected, as well as lifelong Methodists here who have always been at our church. We want to help you get even better connected. So please take a moment to go to our church website at www.brightonfumc.org. Click on our worship page, and there you're going to find our connection card. As you sign in, it helps us get you better connected to the life of church. We have an opportunity to check what you might be interested in. Perhaps it's missions or small groups, children or student ministry, music ministry. There's lots to get involved in. We'd love to know you are here and help you get better connected to the life of the church. This morning, we would especially encourage you to share this worship video on social media. Take now a moment to share it on Facebook, to share it on YouTube, to share it with some friends or family members, neighbors that can find a church home. We would love to be that place for them. Their place of spiritual nourishment, their place of spiritual growth as we grow together in the love of Jesus Christ. Please take a moment to share this video. Later in worship today, we are going to be honoring and celebrating our high school and college graduates, as well as graduates that are graduating from master's programs or doctoral programs. So look forward to a wonderful video with celebrating those graduates, celebrating their photos and celebrating their graduation and what their next anticipated plans are. Look forward to that in worship. Next week in worship, on Sunday, May 23rd, we will be celebrating Pentecost Sunday, so we would encourage you to wear red as you worship from the comfort of your home, or as if you come into worship in person into our church sanctuaries, wear red in celebration of Pentecost Sunday, in celebration of the birthday of the church. Also on Sunday, May 23rd, in person at our Brighton campus, at both our 9:30 and at our 11 o'clock service, we're going to be celebrating Lisa Geis. She has been a tremendous blessing to our church community and preschool for the past 30 years. And Miss Lisa is retiring, and we celebrate her wonderful ministry and gifts that she shared with our preschoolers and family and friends for the past 30 years. So we would invite you to come to worship, that we might honor Lisa that in that way. She is such a tremendous blessing, and we wish her all the best as she retires and look forward to the future endeavors that God will be calling her to. So join us next Sunday for Pentecost and for celebrating Lisa. And now, as we continue in this time of worship, may we calm our hearts and center our minds and be ready for the Holy Spirit to speak to us in wonderful ways. Let's open our eyes and our ears to hear the scripture. Let's lift up our hearts now in a song of praise.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our song deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary.
Good morning, First Church. I'm Liz Hoover. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we are grateful for the accomplishments these graduates have made. We honor their hard work and dedication. Open the door for them to use the learning they have acquired to serve you in the world. Walk beside them as they move from this milestone to begin another, making the way clear before them. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The scripture today starts with Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, where Saul persecutes the church. That day, a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women, and he committed them to prison. Now we go to chapter 9, where Saul is converted. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days, Saul was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision that a man named Ananias will come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all those who invoke your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Isn't this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us into transformation. Amen. Well, this is really an amazing story when you think about it. In chapter 8, which we read today, Saul, this man who was a persecutor of the church, who was literally seeking out in every way, shape, or form opportunities and ways that he could persecute followers of Jesus. Come chapter 9, he's on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden, he's literally knocked onto his back, and he sees a bright ray of light, and his eyes are blinded. He literally can't see anything other than this bright light. And Jesus sort of speaks to him, "Who is this?" And the answer is, "I'm the one that you've been persecuting. As you persecute your followers, you persecute me. Get up and go speak to Ananias. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to turn your life around, and he'll tell you how to make something significant out of your life." So that's exactly what the Apostle Paul does. He goes into town and visits with Ananias, and eventually he gains his sight back. We all know Saul is the Apostle Paul. What an amazing story of transformation. The very people who are terrified just moments before of Paul, because they all knew that he was persecuting and putting to death Christians and people who had decided to follow Jesus. And they saw this guy. I mean, can you imagine their fear if somebody who literally the day before would have put you to death on sight, as soon as he knew that you were one of Jesus's followers, he would have somehow picked you up and persecuted you. Would you let him in? Would you allow him to come in and be a part of the fellowship, a part of the church? Imagine what that would look like today if somebody who went around persecuting members of First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake suddenly decided to profess their vows as a member. I suppose Jesus gives us an example for this, because at the end of the day, anybody can turn their lives over to Jesus Christ at any moment in their life. It doesn't necessarily matter the story that leads up to it, although those make for some powerful testimonies. What matters most is that at some point, you decide to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Put your whole trust in God's grace. For the rest of Paul's life, he carried around something that he described as a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes I've wondered, though I can't confirm it, if part of Paul's thorn in his flesh was that he knew he had spent so much time in his life persecuting members of the church. And at the end of the day, he could never quite fully forgive himself for the harm that he caused for people that he would eventually refer to as his brothers and sisters in Christ. I wonder if he had unresolved guilt, that despite the fact that he had felt forgiven by God's grace, if he held on to some of that shame and some of that embarrassment of knowing that he had done so much harm. Nevertheless, one of the most compelling pieces of the story of Paul's conversion is the fact that God decided to use somebody like Paul, like Saul before he became Paul. Somehow, God looked down, saw this man who was persecuting the church all over the place, and said, "Yeah, I know who I'm going to call into ministry." I think sometimes in our world today, we give up on people too easily. It's far too convenient to say that this person is bad, or this person should be cast aside, or this person should be locked up for the rest of their life. We're quick to judge. We're quick to establish that some people should be cast aside or cast out or ostracized or left behind. How do we know for sure that we're not locking up the Apostle Paul? How do we know for sure that we're not silencing a voice that might otherwise give witness to a whole new perspective on the gospel? After all, if you remember the story, it was the Apostle Paul that made the argument to the Jerusalem Council that all folks in all of the land, including the Gentiles, folks who were not part of the Jewish movement at the time, were to be included in God's kingdom. I don't know about you, but at least as far as I can go back, I can trace no Jewish lineage in my family tradition, which is to say, I would have been on the outside of God's grace had the Gentiles not been included in God's revelation. I guess in that sense, I do, and most of us probably do, owe a debt of gratitude for Paul for getting knocked onto his back and accepting God's call in his life, because Paul had a unique perspective and calling to folks who were not a part of the early Christian movement. It was his work all around the Mediterranean, starting churches in Corinth and in Rome, in Galatia and Philippi. I mean, after all, Paul authored most of the letters in the New Testament, gave us insight as to how the church should function and how the church should be. We quite often quote the Apostle Paul when we do weddings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. Faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest gift is love. Paul wrote Romans chapter 8 when he said that nothing in all of creation could ever separate us from the love that we have in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote all kinds of wonderful statements in the gospel, Philippians 4:13, about perseverance. At the end of the day, we owe all kinds of, of debt to the Apostle Paul for his words and his insights, for the calling that God had on his life. And I guess that's why I want to take a moment to address folks who are graduating, folks who are turning a page in their own lives. Today we celebrate and are celebrating graduates from high school and college and graduate school programs. And I want to say to you this, as you turn the page and enter a new chapter of your life, quite frankly, I hope your experiences sort of mirror or reflect the experiences of the Apostle Paul. Whoever you were in high school doesn't have to be the same person that you are in college. Whoever you are in college doesn't have to be the same person that you are when you enter the workforce. Whoever you were in graduate school, your life may be completely turned upside down, and you might find yourself in a place that you never expected to be. I'm sure the Apostle Paul never thought that he would be facing trial in Rome because he was defending the early Christian movement to the folks in power in Rome. And yet twice he made the trip there and expressed not only the theology and teachings of the early Christian movement, but converted many of the folks who were entrusted to his care the multiple times that he was thrown in jail. Sometimes I find myself wondering what we would do with somebody like the Apostle Paul today. Would we accept that they've made true and honest and sincere transformations in their life? Or would we convict them of murder and put them away in jail? Far too often we're quick to judge in our society today. The mistakes that the Apostle Paul made early on in his life could have defined him for the rest of his life. But at least the early church leaders decided to extend some grace to him. And look what he became. Sometimes when I look at individuals who are incarcerated, I see in their eyes the Apostle Paul himself, knowing that he wrote several books of the New Testament while he was sitting in chains over the course of his ministry in jail. And I find myself thinking, maybe, just maybe, folks who are incarcerated today have something to teach us about the gospel as well, about what it really means when all of our chains are gone and we've been set free, as the contemporary Christian song says. At the end of the day, Paul's conversion gives life for all of us. We're reminded of the new life and the new creation that we are when we accept Jesus Christ into our own lives. We're reminded that our past transgressions do not have to define our future realities. We're reminded that in Jesus Christ, we get a second chance. We have a new lease on life. It's an incredible story, really. And it's a story that I hope is instructional about how we ought to live as people of faith. May we be like the Jerusalem temple, the Jerusalem council that welcomed the Apostle Paul in and allowed him to shape the future of the church. I don't know what you think, but I think the church needs more Pauls in it. Folks who have a true sense of the ways in which God's grace has transformed their life. People who truly have wrestled with and understand what it means to be in the very basement of guilt and shame and sin, only to have their lives lifted and transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. To our graduates, I want to say, well done. Congratulations. Your church celebrates you, and we give thanks for the accomplishments that you have achieved over the course of your work in academia and in your life. And we celebrate that this day. So I guess the question is, in some ways, what is the next chapter going to look like for you? What are you going to do with the time that you have? What are you going to do with the responsibilities that are placed upon your shoulders? What are you going to do with your life that is just beginning as you open a brand new chapter in a brand new place? The world is your oyster. And just know this. Your church is proud of you, and we stand behind you in all that you're becoming and all that you already are. And you're always going to have a place here. When life gets hard and the storms of life start dumping water over the bow of your boat, just know that this place is a place that you can return to for a place of recovery and rest and renewal. This is a place filled with people who love you, who are in your corner, who would do anything to see you succeed. This church is proud of the young people who have gone through our baptism experiences and our third grade Bible experiences and our confirmation program and through youth mission trips. Our church stands behind you, always has, and always will. We believe in who you're becoming, and we're excited to see what God does with your life. Thanks be to God as we celebrate your achievements, and may you, like the Apostle Paul, make a tremendous impact on the world. The world needs you, and we celebrate all that you have already done. Thanks be to God, now and forever. Amen.
Hi, I'm Carol Kapuska, your worship host this morning, and today is Grad Sunday. So my prayer for today, I was thinking about what graduation meant to me and other things about being a senior that was helping me to come up with a prayer when I actually had a meeting that was very profound this week and led me to what I pray today with you. So I'm in the schools and I was meeting for the final meeting of a senior who has been receiving some special education services because he struggles and needs some assistance in school. And I've known him since he was a preschooler, and now he's a senior. So school has been a challenge for him all the way through, but particularly this year. And he's been having some attendance issues, and he went virtual and struggling to get on Zooms virtually. But this morning, we were having a meeting to summarize his senior year and to finalize everything for him. And even though he often missed Zoom meetings, he was at the meeting today that we were having. But his parent wasn't there. And when he turned on the light and joined the Zoom, he was sitting in a friend's garage. He was sitting there because that's where he was sleeping and living and trying to attend his Zooms. And the idea of walking through commencement, which is this Wednesday, hadn't even gone through his mind. He did not have a cap and gown. He wasn't even sure when commencement was. He didn't really know for sure if he wanted to attend because were we going to social distance? He was concerned about the crowds. But at the end of this discussion that we had as his team, there was a plan that we came up with. And his case manager wanted to make sure if for no other reason he would go for her to commencement. And she was retiring this year. And after all the discussion that we had, he threw up his hands and he said, "I'll do it. I'll do it for you. And I'll invite my mom, even though she and I are kind of on the outs, because she helped me to get here." So my prayer was formed. All of those thoughts that meeting brought on, all of the accomplishments that are happening, even though life is messy, and all of the things in the messy world that are happening behind the scenes as we get ready for transitions in our life, because those things still happen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us through all of the important moments in our lives, all of the transitions and new endeavors. Please be with us and with all those parents that will be dealing with empty nesting in a few months, helping to support young adults to make decisions and needing guidance for paths they would like to take. Please be with those students who are feeling uncertain, relieved, anxious, or excited for the next step. Dear Lord, today, let us all be ready for the challenges and callings that you bring upon us, that we all may be ready to go into uncharted territory with confidence that comes through knowing you and your teachings, that the fact that you have faith in us gives us faith in ourselves, and we enter these adventures with clear eyes and a heart to bring others to your word. but also be with those that have not reached their goals and are experiencing disappointments. Those who do not find pleasure in the adventure, but stress and pain. We praise you for all of our graduations, accomplishments, and transitions, that you are there for us and do not allow us to become stagnant. You support us to move forward, to make progress, or to overcome. You help us to see what is beyond the here and now and what is possible to become. What may seem intolerable now is possible to move beyond with your guidance. We can see celebrations in the distance if we look with your help. But in all our joys and thankfulness, there are sorrows. There are things that we ask of you, Lord, knowing that we just need to do that. Ask. It may be for us, a challenge in our own life that weighs heavily on our hearts and minds, stresses of the week that seem overwhelming that we ask for help from you. We ask that you support us, but especially we ask for others, those that may be living in a garage, those that we do not even know the struggles that they have. We ask for guidance in how our one voice can be made louder in your name to help. Help those that are in need because they are hurting mentally or physically. Help those that are in leadership positions and making difficult decisions. Help for those that are picking up the pieces after a disaster in their life or just needing a connection to someone larger than themselves. We ask that you provide for them in these times. Use us at your will for those purposes, to increase our fellowship and tie us together in one voice and one mission. And now let's take a moment to ask you our personal prayers. And now let's join our voices together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Congratulations to all of you graduates.
Thank you.
Scripture tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who love him may have eternal life." God is a loving and giving God. And in response to this, with loving hearts, I would invite you to share your tithes and offerings and gifts with God through the church. You can share your offerings by going online or giving, or coming in during the weekday to share your offerings with the church in the main office. Let's pray. Holy God, your love overflows in the gift of your Spirit. May you bless these gifts that we offer. May they spread many blessings to a world in need as we seek to be your disciples, faithfully walking in your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us this week for worship. We hope that this service has been a blessing to you and your family. As we conclude our time together, if this service was meaningful for you, I just want to invite you to hit the share button at the bottom of your screen. It gives other folks an opportunity to hear the message and listen to the music and worship alongside us as we gather together. We hope that the prayers were inspiring and that you learned something from this week's passage. As we depart from this place, I want to share with you a couple of announcements as we close our worship time together. First of all, our COVID task force met earlier this week, and we had an opportunity to share that beginning June 1st, we are going to be allowing groups to eat food outside the church. So if you're interested in having your group have light refreshments, we encourage you to plan in that fashion so that you might be able to share either coffee or a beverage or whatever snacks. You can do that outside beginning June 1st. The same rule will apply for Vacation Bible School, our youth mission trip, and other events that we're having here at the church. We believe, frankly, that we're in a safe place to be able to do that. A couple of weeks ago, we sent a survey out to members of our church through email, and some individuals might have received it through a letter that went through USPS. It asked some questions, and in that question, we asked about whether or not folks have been vaccinated. I'm pleased to be able to share that at our church, 90% of the folks here at the church are fully vaccinated of the 157 responses that we've received so far. In addition to that, another 6% say that they have had at least one shot and on their way to total vaccination. And there were a remaining couple of folks that make up that final percentage that shared that they will receive the vaccine when it's available to them. And so we're so grateful to be able to share that the vast majority of folks here at the church have been able to get their vaccine. We're excited about that and for what that will mean in our future. We're grateful that we've done our part to keep ourselves and one another safe in the community, and we're really grateful for that. I also wanted to share with you that that we're really excited to be offering three outdoor worship experiences the last Sunday of each month at our Whitmore Lake campus. So we encourage you, if you're interested, to come check out that campus on the last Sunday of each month. We hope that it'll be a great outreach event for our brothers and sisters in Whitmore Lake who may be looking for a church home at that time. Finally, I want to share with you some great news. Fortunately, we were able to collect enough donations for the Vena Dental Clinic that we surpassed our goal of $7,500, and we're so grateful for all of the generous contributions that have come in through the church. We will be presenting a check to the director of the Vena Dental Clinic, and we're so grateful for all of the support that we've received in the early part of 2021, so thank you for your generosity in that regard. One last piece regarding staff parish relations. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been working in conjunction with a plan set forth through Vital Church Initiative that this church went through a couple of years ago, and we have decided to make our youth and children's ministry position a full-time position. So that position was just posted live. If you know anybody who might be interested in coming on our staff as a full-time director of children and student ministries, we encourage you to have them reach out to us here at the church. We are so excited to be expanding that position as we continue to seek to fill it. We believe that it's an important step for our church as we build our programs to youth, children, and families in our community. So we encourage folks to apply. The interview process will be going on over the course of the next month, and we look forward to being here for that. One last piece. I know I've said that a couple of times, but we do have a Bible for one of our former members here at the church, Susie Hutchinson, who is being ordained at our annual conference this year. If you would like to add a personal note congratulating Susie on her ordination, there is a Bible that we have purchased to give as a gift to Reverend Hutchinson, and we will be giving that in a couple of weeks. If you'd like to stop by the church to write a note inside that Bible, we encourage you to do that. It also will be available here at the church for about the next 2 weeks for you to be able to stop by and do that. So we encourage you to do that. As you depart from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.